Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive. We're going to be looking at something pretty interesting today. It's the West Africa Theological Seminary, WATS.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, yeah. And I was really intrigued by a question in your research. Can WATS, you know, based in Lagos, Nigeria, really be a leading global institution?
It's a good question. It really gets to the heart of WATS. It's this local and global thing. That's what we'll be looking at.
Okay, so the basics. WATS was founded in 1989 by an American missionary, Reverend Dr. Gary Maxey. So I'm already wondering about the balance. Like, how much is WATS shaped by its American roots versus its Nigerian context?
You know, that tension between local and global, yeah. It's a theme that we see throughout the history of missions. We'll see how that goes as we look closer at WATS.
All right, American founder, but in Lagos, Nigeria, what's the significance of that location?
Well, Lagos is a hub, one of the largest cities in Africa. That makes WATS accessible to a lot of people. But you asked if Lagos is really at the heart of theological discussions. I think that's debatable. It's a vibrant city for sure, but whether it's shaping theological discourse on the continent, that's a point worth examining.
Okay, so maybe Lagos is more about strategic location and accessibility than being like a theological powerhouse. So their vision statement is ambitious. To be a leading theological institution in Africa, preparing godly leaders for the global church. What stands out to you?
I think it's that global ambition. They're not just aiming to serve Nigeria or West Africa, but the whole continent, even beyond. That's a bold vision, you know, from Lagos.
And their mission statement adds to that, to provide sound biblical education that integrates spiritual, academic, and practical aspects of ministry. So they're going for well-rounded graduates, not just academics.
Absolutely. Developing godly leaders who go out and make a difference in the world. That practical ministry focus on application more than theory is something we'll see coming up again and again.
Yeah, they have a surprisingly wide range of programs, from diplomas to doctorates.
Yes, but instead of listing every single one, let's just hit some highlights. Their ACTEA accreditation is well-regarded. So your degree will hold weight whether you stay in Nigeria or work internationally.
Good to know. What else jumps out in their offerings?
Two things. First, the Doctor of Ministry program. A demon in Africa. It's not something you see every day.
Right.
It shows they're serious about equipping leaders for the challenges of ministry in this context.
A Doctor of Ministry in Africa. I never would have thought of that. What kind of challenges would a demon grad be equipped to handle there?
Think rapid growth of Christianity in Africa. Complexities of poverty and development, the intersection of faith and culture. A demon program could help leaders there.
Fascinating. Okay, and the second thing that stood out?
Online and distance learning options. Smart move, you know, considering how spread out their potential students are. Not everyone can move to Lagos. This makes theological education more accessible.
That's a great point. Speaks to reaching a wider audience, not just those in Lagos. So ambition, practical ministry, innovative programs. What about the student experience itself? Campus life?
Well, from what you gave me, it seems like they've really invested in creating a supportive learning environment, a well-equipped library, student housing, a chapel, regular worship services. They also have that e-learning infrastructure. So it's a blend of traditional and modern approaches.
I'm curious about the student body. Sources mention they attract students from all over West Africa and even other continents. Sounds ideal, but are there challenges in managing such diversity? Do the sources say anything about any tensions?
That's a perceptive question. The sources focus on the benefits of diversity, but don't really get into the challenges. It's certainly something to keep in mind. Managing diverse perspectives must be a balancing act.
Okay, a commitment to community. But the complexities of that diversity are something to watch. Let's talk core values. The research lists four: biblical integrity, spiritual vitality, academic excellence, and missional focus.
Those are key to understanding WATS. Biblical integrity seems pretty straightforward, but it's crucial, especially with the rise of things like prosperity gospel. WATS seems to be drawing a line there.
Interesting. And spiritual vitality, we've touched on that, their emphasis on worship and growth.
Right. Nurturing a vibrant faith, you know, beyond just intellectual understanding, a lived experience.
Academic excellence is also pretty clear. Committed to high-quality theological education, but missional focus. That one stands out. What does it mean at WATS?
I met a WATS grad once doing amazing work in a Kenyan slum, helping people start small businesses through microfinance. Really brought their mission to life for me. At WATS, it's not just studying theology. It's applying it to real problems, making a difference. And this graduate is just one example.
That's a great illustration. Sounds like they're really living out their mission to equip leaders who make a difference. So if someone's thinking, I want to apply, what are admissions like?
First and foremost, a personal testimony of faith. They want to make sure prospective students are committed to Christianity and ministry.
Makes sense. And educational qualifications.
Depends on the program. Some, a high school diploma might be enough. Others, like master's or doctoral programs, you'll need a bachelor's.
And for those with financial constraints, are there scholarships or aid? Theological education can get expensive.
Yes, they do, and they really emphasize it. They want to make theological education accessible regardless of your finances, which is commendable.
That's great. Shows they're serious about removing those barriers, making sure anyone called to ministry can pursue theological education.
Yeah.
So where can someone go to dig deeper, explore programs?
The Watts website is the best place. Program descriptions, faculty bios, admissions, scholarship information, everything. You'll get a good feel for Watts just from browsing.
Perfect. We'll link to their website in the show notes. But now let's shift gears and look closer at that Doctor of Ministry program. Seems unique, especially in Africa.
You know, it's interesting. That Doctor of Ministry program, thinking about it with Watts's mission to prepare godly leaders, it suggests they're thinking long term, developing leaders to sustain and grow the church in Africa, you know, for years to come.
It's not just filling pulpits today. It's about future leadership.
Mm.
But let's back up a bit. You said the DMN is for experienced ministry professionals. What does that actually look like? Who are these people?
Think of pastors who have been leading congregations for a while, maybe facing new challenges as their communities grow, or missionaries working cross-culturally, encountering complex theological issues. Those are the folks who benefit from a DMN.
So it's not just gaining more knowledge, it's applying it, working through ministry challenges in a real context.
Exactly. And the fact that Watts offers this in Africa suggests they see the unique needs and challenges facing the church there.
Okay, so experienced leaders, they go through the DMN. Then what? What impact are graduates having?
Well, that's where things get exciting. The research you gave me mentions alumni serving as pastors, church planters, leading mission organizations, teaching in seminaries, Bible colleges, even working on social justice stuff.
So they're not just in traditional church roles. They're applying their education in all sorts of ways.
And that speaks to that well-rounded education Watts is aiming for, equipping graduates to lead in all kinds of contexts, not just the church.
It's like scattering seeds, taking root, and growing in different places, different fruit. But speaking of seeds, let's go back to Watts's founder for a minute. You said the local and global thing is something to watch. Do we see that with graduates? Are they just replicating a Western model, or are they forging their own paths?
That's a question worth thinking about. It'd be interesting to see more research on how graduates integrate their education with their culture. Are they mixing Western theology and African traditions, developing new models, uniquely African?
Seems like a tension there, finding the balance between local culture and the global Christian tradition.
Absolutely. It's something lots of theological institutions are dealing with. How to be true to your faith while also responding to the diverse needs of the communities you serve.
Big question. Maybe something for our listeners to think about as they look into Watts. Speaking of big questions, let's zoom out a bit. We talked about Watts's vision, leading theological institution in Africa, preparing leaders for the global church. What's the significance of Watts in the bigger picture of Christianity in Africa and beyond?
Significant on many levels. First, it's a sign of Christianity's growth in Africa. For centuries, theological education was centered in the West, but we're seeing a shift. Institutions like Watts are becoming centers of theological thought and leadership.
It's like reclaiming theological agency,
yeah,
right? Allowing African voices to shape the future of the church.
Exactly. And that has meaning not just for Africa, but globally. It's a reminder that Christianity isn't one thing. It's diverse, vibrant, expressed in different ways around the world.
And institutions like Watts are amplifying those voices.
Mm-hmm.
No longer a one-way flow of knowledge from West to East. It's more interactive, with different cultures enriching each other, challenging each other.
That's what's exciting about theological education right now. A sense of possibility, new frontiers, fresh perspectives, and Watts is right there leading the way.
They're at this intersection of tradition and innovation, drawing on the heritage of Christian faith while embracing new approaches, engaging with the 21st century.
That mix of old and new makes Watts compelling. It's a microcosm of the challenges and opportunities Christianity faces today.
I like that. Watts is a microcosm, not just an institution, but a reflection of what's happening in the church in Africa and beyond.
Precisely. And as we wrap up this part, I think it's a good point to move to our final thought. But first, let's think about everything we've covered. We've talked about a lot.
All right, we're back. Feels like we've gotten a handle on Watts now. From its American founder and its location in Lagos to its diverse students and that vision for the future.
Yeah, we've seen how it all fits together, this unique institution, rooted locally but aiming for global impact.
Exactly. But before we go, time for that final thought-provoking question, right? Something for our listeners to chew on as they keep exploring Watts.
Okay, here it is. We've talked about how Watts mixes traditional and modern approaches to theological education, its emphasis on academic rigor but also practical ministry, and its location in this rapidly growing part of the world. So the question is, how might Watts, with all that, contribute to the future of Christianity, not just in Africa, but globally?
Oh, that's a big one. I especially like the global part. You're challenging our listeners to think big, right? To consider how an institution in Lagos, Nigeria, could impact the church worldwide.
Precisely. It goes back to that idea of shifting centers of influence. For so long, theological trends have come from the West. But places like Watts are changing that. They're offering new perspectives, new models of ministry, new ways of being the church in, well, the 21st century.
It's exciting to think about Watts, you know, not just training leaders for the African church, but contributing to a more diverse global Christian community.
And I think that's where our listener comes in. We've given them this deep dive into Watts, but the story is still going on. It's a story we can all be part of, whether it's by supporting institutions like Watts or engaging in theological education ourselves, or even just by being informed and thoughtful about the challenges and opportunities facing the church in our world.
So well said. Theological education isn't just for pastors or scholars. It's for anyone who cares about faith, about its future.
Absolutely. So to our listener, I really encourage you, keep looking into Watts. Dig into their programs. Really think about their approach to theological education. Maybe even let this deep dive spark your own journey, you know, of faith and learning.
It's been a great exploration, and we're so glad you were here with us. Until next time, keep diving deep and keep those questions coming.